Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and thank you for joining me today for another exciting episode on What Women Must Know. This show is really devoted to empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decision possible regarding your health and well-being. And if you've been a listener for a while now, you know that there are some exciting topics that we discuss. I have some very inspiring guests, and it's all there to just keep expanding your knowledge and giving you more solutions. And this show is no exception to that rule. We have an amazing topic today and one of the most enlightening guests you'll ever meet on the topic of hemp seed oil, known as CBD, or we'll talk about cannabinoids. So the topic we're going to talk about is the healing benefits of hemp seed oil for pain, sleep, and so much more with Stuart Tomk. So you may have been aware that there is a lot of interest and development in the health world along the lines of hemp seed oil, what's known as cannabinoids. You may be aware, but you may not. But if you haven't, you will be, because this is really such a profound healing option, a healing nutrient that is going to be impacting so many people's lives. So I wanted to invite Stuart Tomk on the show because he is such a wealth of knowledge about this new and exciting modality that is now expanding out there into the health world. So let me just tell you a little bit about Stuart. Stuart Tomk has spent 20 years in the natural products industry and has been a witness to the waves of trends, consumer awareness, and the changing tide of health and the aging process. A moment of clarity brought him to discover CBDs and recognize its incredible healing medicinal benefits. Stuart Tomk spearheads cannabis mission to educate consumers on the myriad nutritional benefits of CBD and industrial hemp and its multiple mechanisms of action to support human health, and envisions a new category of dietary supplements derived from agricultural hemp. It's just been just a treat to have Stuart take advantage of this invitation, be on the show. He visited with us once before talking about fish oil and is always such a wealth of information. So it's my pleasure to welcome Stuart Tomk to the show today. Hello, Stuart.
Hello, doctor, and thank you for inviting me back. What a great topic. And I just wanted to clarify one small point in your lovely introduction, and this is important because this is a really new subject. You had mentioned that it was hemp seed oil. And one of the areas of confusion has been helping people differentiate between the hemp seed oils that we've been buying at health food stores for, you know, energy and essential fatty acids from the hemp extracts that contain the phytocannabinoids. And the reason I bring that up right away is every time you have a conversation about hemp or cannabis, immediately the first thing that people hear are they try to look for the inaccuracies in what you're saying, just the nature of the newness of the topic. So to be clear to the audience, the seeds produce the seed oil, the leaf produces the phytocannabinoids, and although seeds are used in our products, we use the entire plant, so everything that grows above the ground. So just to make that point clear.
So how would we say it correctly? Hemp extract oil?
Yes, that's still being debated. So even the nomenclature as a physician, right, we call it hemp-derived CBD to make it clear to people that the CBD that we've brought to market comes from agricultural hemp as opposed to medical cannabis. And that seems to be one of the things that consumers, they want to get very clear on early on. Do your products come from agricultural hemp that grow outside, grows 20 feet tall, or are you using medical marijuana, something we are not doing, a conversation we're not involved with? So people normally want that clear up front.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So we have accurate information out there. All right. So we're going to start from the very beginning because I am sure that many of my listeners have never really been exposed to the world of the hemp plant and what it can offer us and why practitioners like myself are so excited and so many patients are so excited from this product because of the amazing benefits it delivers. So let's talk about the hemp plant. Let's start there.
No, I really do think it's a great place because people have concerns, and the way that we lay out the argument is to help people understand that the confusion between hemp and marijuana goes back to something very simple and often overlooked. Doctor, did you know that both outdoor agricultural hemp that looks more like bamboo and indoor-grown medical cannabis, they both have the same genus species? We call them both Cannabis sativa L. Can you see how confusing that would be?
Very, yes.
Yes. Right out the gate, you've got two people that look completely different that have the same first and last name.
Right.
Now, it's a very simple way to get confused. So here's a great analogy. Everyone in the country now, especially your listeners, no one is a stranger to kombucha, right? It took a long time to become a regularly consumed beverage. But I'm sure you know this, doctor. There's a trace amount of alcohol in kombucha, correct?
Mm-hmm.
0.5%. Now, at 0.5%, we can let a 9-year-old girl buy it with her mom in the car, prebiotic, probiotic, symbiotic, good for your gut, brain, belly connection beverage. We also have kombuchas that contain more alcohol. Just 0.6% alcohol, you need to present an identification, be 21 years old to buy it, and we don't call it kombucha anymore. We call it an alcoholic beverage. That is a great comparison between outdoor-grown agricultural hemp and indoor-grown medical cannabis. What do I mean? When they test our plants, doctor, if they test, this is an important number, at more than 0.3% THC, the stuff we've heard about that gets kids high if you smoke it, right? THC, at more than 0.3% THC, they call our hemp plants marijuana. Now, if they test at 0.3% THC or lower, they call the plant hemp. And once people understand that, that opens up a better understanding to this narrative.
So it's the potency of some of the active ingredients that really makes the distinction whether it's considered hemp or a marijuana plant, right? I have that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, if we can allow me to push it just one step further, I was prepared for your show in a brand new article that came out in Cannabis and Cannabinoid Research by Ethan Russo, R-U-S-S-O, M.D. He's a very serious scientist in this cannabis space. This was a brand new journal, and he was recently interviewed. And this is what he said, because the next thing people go to, doctor, is they say, well, what's the strain, right? What's the strain of the plant? And here's what this expert says. Since the taxonomists cannot agree, right, if they both have the same first and last name, I would strongly encourage the scientific community, the press, and the public to abandon the sativa indica nomenclature, and rather just insist on accurate biochemical assays on mm-hmm. the cannabinoid and terpenoid profiles, that they be available for the recreational and medical markets, because scientific accuracy and the public health demand no less than this. My point, here at CV Sciences, formerly Cannavest, we want people to stop thinking about hemp or marijuana or sativa or indica, and to focus on how many milligrams of which phytocannabinoid may or may not hold promise for human health. That's when we'll get physicians' attention like your attention, and I think that's when the conversation grows up.
Okay, so I want us to go back to that hemp plant. You, in a brochure that your company has, I found it pretty fascinating that the hemp is one of the earliest known domesticated plants cultivated by civilizations for approximately 12,000 years.
Remarkable.
Isn't that amazing? So hemp has been used for so many things. I mean, it's woven, it's made into, clothes, it's made into all sorts of things, as well as it has medicinal properties.
And it seems to have followed us, or we have followed it. They debate that. Ethan Russo, by the way, is someone who studies that and debates that. But it's considered one of the first domesticated plants. And everywhere we have gone as humans, it has gone with us. And it does some remarkable things. Anything that's petroleum-based, you can make out of hemp for the most part. BMW, they're making car doors out of hemp right now. Ford actually had one years and years ago, was abandoned. It's a remarkable plant. It sequesters CO2 out of the atmosphere. So in the years that I've been doing this, I finally boiled it down to sequestering CO2 out of our atmosphere as a civilization, as humanity, is more important than us eating all organic. Right? If we don't sequester the CO2 out of the atmosphere, there's nothing for our great-grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So if Paul Stamets says that mushrooms can heal the earth, we are saying at CB Sciences that hemp can also heal the earth. It's environmentally helpful. It requires 80% less water. It's kissed by the sun. And there's no fungicides, pesticides, or fertilizers needed because the plant produces these powerful, cidal, antimicrobial, antifungal, phenolic compounds that bugs don't like biting into, so you don't need any chemicals. It's grown in Holland. Monsanto, thank goodness, hasn't even been allowed there yet, and it's textbook sustainability. So growing hemp, agricultural hemp, is good for the earth, it's good for business, and it's good for people.
And every bit of that plant can be used in some way or other.
Everything. For right now, we're using the seed, the stem, the stalk. We're taking it all down, CO2 extracting it, and it goes from Holland, where we manage 3,000 acres. It's quite beautiful, 3,000 acres of 20-foot-tall hemp. It's amazing. It then goes next door to Germany, where it's CO2 extracted. So that means we take the seed, the stem, the stalk, and we compress it all into this beautiful dark green paste. And that gets shipped in these big 25-kilo containers, clears customs, and comes to our laboratory here in San Diego where we begin making the products.
So we're going to be talking about the less than 3% of the active ingredients, which is known as CBD oil or cannabinol oil. We're not talking about the THC, which is the name for the components that can create more of a high in people. So this is not going to do that, but this extract from the hemp plant has many, many medicinal benefits. And one of the things that I want to talk about, because this just blew my mind when I learned that every single cell in our body has receptor sites for cannabinoids, or they call endocannabinoids. What's the correct term, Stuart?
Yes, you're 100% right. Endocannabinoids. When I learned what you're talking about, that we have receptors for cannabis in our bodies, that our bodies make cannabis-like compounds, when I put all that together, I mean, it was a big, heavy aha moment because, doctor, they discovered this system in 1992, which means we have a brand new system we never knew existed. The endocannabinoid system is your master central regulatory system that oversees how you eat, how you sleep, how you protect, and how you forget. And we'll unpack all of that. But 1992, with a plant, check this out, CBD does not exist in any other plant in nature, neither does THC. So we have a system we didn't even know existed that's the master system, we call it master control for global homeostasis, that gets talked to by a plant that was under prohibition for 70 years that we now have access to that isn't redundant, so there's nothing else we've ever given that will talk to the system in the same way. That's remarkable.
Well, I think it's pretty profound. It's like we were made to coexist with these plants. We're designed to have a relationship with them.
Now, when the people that are at the height of this game, I mean the top academics, are pressed about that exact issue, they will back away from it a little bit. However, I'm still poetic, and I do love the idea. But when you talk to people like Professor Raphael Mechoulam, and he discovered THC and the endocannabinoid system, so he probably knows more about it than anybody. In some of his lectures, when he's asked about that, he says, well, there is biological coincidence, right? Because what the plant cannabinoids are structurally different than the endocannabinoids, but this is the best part. When you're exercising and you feel fantastic, it's not just brain-derived nootropic factor. When you hug somebody and you feel connected, we now know it's not just oxytocin. your body produces these compounds, and one of them is called anandamide. Anandamide means bliss in Sanskrit. It's the bliss neurotransmitter. So your body makes a cannabis-like compound called anandamide, the bliss neurotransmitter, that also talks to the same exact receptor that THC talks to. Interestingly enough, if you take CBD, you impede the metabolism of endocannabinoids, allowing this anandamide to talk to the CB1 receptor, you get high on your own supply. You're really not – no, it's amazing. You're not adding anything
to the – you're creating it from within as we are designed to do.
Yes, and just slightly massaging, if you will, a much more nuanced way, slowly impeding the degradation of the fatty acid amide hydrolases and MAGs, the enzymes that degrade them, makes this plant that has 550 compounds and 113 cannabinoids far more complex and different than isolating it down to a single compound, which your audience knows a whole lot about. We are often not able to get the desired results with one single moiety. With cannabis and with hemp, scientists have known since 1985 or earlier that you needed the plant, that the synthetics didn't work. Do you remember the first THC synthetic drug called Marinol?
No.
It was given for wasting away, and it's off-label for anorexia. They gave it to you to stimulate appetite if you had cancer or AIDS and you needed to put on weight, because it talks to the CB1 receptor and it gives you the munchies. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what they found out? It's a miserable drug. It's FDA approved, and it's a loser. It has a lot of side effects, and it's no good. All those years since 1985, scientists and researchers keep going back to the plant, because it's far more nuanced and it works in a much more subtle way.
Okay. So we go back to nature. We go back to this profound healing gift that we can find in nature. And there's no greater example than the hemp plant that's offering us so much. So, Stuart, for people who have never heard of CBGs, don't know anything about them, let's explore what the healing benefits may be for people. How they can use this oil. It comes in the form of a spray, right? It's an oil, but you have it in a form that is sprayable.
So, and a orally, capsule as well.
And a capsule, and then there's a more concentrated form that's a paste. That's much more concentrated, more therapeutic, right?
Correct. And that we tell people to start with the tinctures. Start low, start slow, build up. The capsules, one capsule a day. We have a big study that a researcher in Colorado is using one capsule a day with subjective social anxiety disorder. But in general, the best place to start are with those sprays and tinctures. And did you want me – I can run through a list, sort of the low-hanging fruit. Like if you're still trying to grab onto what we're talking about today and it's heady, this is not an easy conversation – your body makes cannabis-like compounds. You have cannabis receptors in your body. These endocannabinoids regulate how you eat, how you sleep, how you protect, and how you forget. That all sounds esoteric. Let's just get right into the therapeutic areas of how this stuff could help you.
Good.
Nervous system health. Doctor, in the years you've been doing this, are you seeing that more people are struggling with mood and anxiety and disruption in circadian rhythm than ever before?
Oh, I see this as a major problem. I see people as really, adrenally fatigued. It impacts their sleep, so they can't get deep, good quality sleep, and they just tend to get overwhelmed. Situations overwhelm them, so they get anxious and stressed.
So you see it from that perspective. I've spent 30 years teaching people that work in health food stores to not oversimplify things. Here's my observation. If we're the healthiest people in the country, we don't smile a whole lot. No, I'm not trying to make a judgment. It's true. I've seen over 30 years just people in our community are under the same pressure that everybody else is, but it's not like we're really exceeding everybody in well-being. We're not walking around beaming and smiling. Okay, well, nervous system health, if you're the kind of person that uses kava-kava or theanine or melatonin to go to sleep, rescue remedy, passion flower, valerian, the list of people like me that have used those things for years – dysregulation in your endocannabinoid system, you're not going to affect that with what you've been doing. You need CBD to balance the ECS to help balance your nervous system and help you sleep restoratively throughout the whole night. Now, here's the second low-hanging fruit. I don't know if you would have thought about this, but the second area of benefit from that is immediately cardiometabolic health.
Right. Well, sleep impacts everything.
I know, you get that, but the layperson doesn't always make that connection. So here's the best part. If you're sleeping, more beige, more brown adipose tissue, more thermogenesis, then CBD has affinity for the PPAR gamma receptor.
Uh-huh.
That's the same receptor that the blood sugar drugs talk to. So it launches programs to increase insulin sensitivity. As a result, management of central obesity, adipokine, and myokine profiles, melting visceral gut adipose tissue. As a result of sleeping, more efficient caloric partitioning and increasing insulin sensitivity. So balancing the nervous system and cardiometabolic health just right out the gate will help millions of people. We haven't talked about pain management, stress resilience, recovery and adaptation, supporting the immune system because it dampens NF-kappa-beta, and then gastrointestinal and digestive health. This stuff works a broad range of areas that is unmatched in anything we've seen in herbal medicine.
Okay, so it's going to help someone who's having a difficult time getting deep quality sleep and for all the benefits that you just talked about. So you talked about people with social anxiety disorder. I'm not sure what that is. I don't know if it really exists, but I can tell you people are anxious. Let's just
so
go.
You're a great doctor.
Yeah, I'll just go for people who are because I relate to it. You know, under stressful situations, I go into overwhelm, and, you know, that's where, you know, you just can't cope. You're anxious, you can't really think clearly, you just overreact to situations. It's not a good place to be for oneself or anyone around you. So CBDs can help people calm down. Is that correct?
Yes, but the reason it's a bit paradoxical and why I would love getting to do a show with a doctor is because one of the proposed mechanisms of action is it allosterically may modulate the 5-HT1A serotonin receptor site.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's anxiolytic as a byproduct of elevating mood, that's different than a benzodiazepine.
Right.
So you're
okay.
Not going to feel drugged, but you.
Yes.
Here's a great way to say it. Dr. Hicks, John Hicks out of Los Gatos, he's an MD that wrote a book called The Medicinal Powers of Cannabis, using our products for years with his pediatric clients. Here's what he just said. This is fascinating. He said, Stuart, CBD builds energy. It builds chi. THC removes chi, removes energy. Hello, that's a beautiful analogy. Come
wow,
on.
That's profound.
Now, so if someone is on the autism spectrum or they've got epilepsy, certain types of epilepsy might need a little bit of THC too. So in understanding that we never could see the difference because these things were intermixed, it reminds me of this.
Eat fish if you want to be healthy.
Okay. Eat cod liver oil. It cures all that ails you. Well, once we figured out if it was night blindness that ailed you, it was vitamin A. If it was rickets, it was vitamin D. If it's antagonizing arachidonic acid, it's EPA. If it's synaptogenesis for brain cell to brain cell communication, it's DHA. Just like green tea, drink green tea, it's good for you. Green tea has L-theanine and caffeine. L-theanine, the break, caffeine, the gas. Cannabis has THC and CBD. THC, the gas. CBD, the break. Once people understand that there's a role for each of those things, but if you think of something that's anxiolytic and antipsychotic, anti-inflammatory, analgesic, anti-diabetic, even anti-proliferative and anti-ischemic, CBD has an extraordinarily diverse bioactivity. So to your point, it'll elevate mood, but will not keep you too relaxed. You'll have energy, but you'll be focused.
And I think at this point it's really important in this distinction with CBDs and those products that have THC is that one is legal throughout the country.
Right.
And the other is not available throughout the country as the THC, the more active ingredient found in marijuana. So that's found in just, you know, like Colorado and Washington State and California, right? They have those dispensaries, but it's not available here in Oklahoma and many other states. So we're talking about the CBD oils that is a legal, you know, support product that is available for anyone throughout the United States to access. Correct?
Yes, and I think that's a very important distinction because we believe the number of people that are just seeking relief, just either what it's, you know, idiopathic pain or inflammation or whatever, that do not want to be and don't ever want to be altered in any way, the CBD products are fantastic for that. And at this company, we're not saying, hey, those are the only things that work. We're saying that you may find that other cannabinoids have different application, and some of those might need to be controlled by a physician. But right now that we have access to this plant, it was the first domesticated plant. It's been used as natural medicine for thousands of years. We're not introducing anything new. On some level, we're just bringing back a good old favorite.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about some more of its applications, its clinical applications. So we talked about being able to calm you down or to just provide more stable energy for your system. What about pain? Let's talk about pain.
Yeah, pain is interesting, and it can be very, very tricky. And in the cannabinoid world, THC may directly, you know, work in a unique analgesic way, but we're talking about the CBD products today, and they do something I think equally as fascinating, not directly but indirectly. This theory is that CBD may modulate the opioid receptors and allosterically, so indirectly, sort of massage those receptors, and the theory being is we might be able to titrate down the amount of painkillers that are required to keep somebody in a good place. So we have several pain docs that are out there using CBD and collecting data. We've got a great neurosurgeon using CBD, collecting data, not only on that, but also on concussions. So for pain, it's tricky. Pain is always tricky. But with CBD, it appears as if there's something there, and it may not work for everybody and not for every type of pain, but those that are reporting benefits are getting great results.
So some practitioners are able to get their patients off of the more addictive pain medications.
Or titrate them down.
Right, titrate them down, and but with using the CBD oil, it helps.
Correct.
To maybe switch over to use the CBDs, that's all they would require if they need support.
I'm looking forward to those phone calls. Or those emails or those reports. That's the goal.
But okay,
one of the best, the most exciting things about this narrative is in all the things that have been out there, we all get to learn about this in real time.
Right. So what you're saying is here's this 12,000-year-old plant. It's been known throughout history to have all sorts of beneficial properties, not just medicinal, but its use in our cultures. But we still don't totally understand everything it can do. We don't understand all the pathways, all the receptor sites, all the issues that can be impacted by this amazing plant. We're still learning.
I'm so happy to hear you say that, because if we stand in that place, and that is the truth, over the summer I had attended the International Cannabinoid Research Society Symposium in Wolfsville, Nova Scotia. That's where I met Professor Mishulam. It was 100 lectures in 4 days, 15 minutes each. It was like speed dating for science nerds.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was fantastic, right?
You need your CBD oil just to process all that information.
You did. No. I sat there with Dr. Lopez. He's an MD. He's one of our top medical advisors. And we looked at each other at the end of this, and we said, wow, man, we're just scratching the surface. We really don't know anything. So when I get back into the field, and I hear a lot of, you know, how it is with the audience, right? People have very strong opinions around wellness and nutrition. They have real strong opinions around cannabis. Okay, here's the news flash. Prohibition just ended. We have one randomized controlled trial, one on CBD. Join us. Then join the evolution. Study with us, right? That's probably
the
best way to do it.
That's amazing. There's only one. But anecdotally, there's a lot of evidence. So it's for sleep. So we can help with stress. We can it can generate more of a more elevated mood. Let's talk about and pain. So let's talk about some more chronic conditions. Let's talk about epilepsy.
Yeah. Now this is where you're in the most sensitive area, because epilepsy and CBD have somehow become synonymous. Because of the specials, and if anyone listening hasn't seen them yet, they're all archived on YouTube. They've got a horrible name, but they're narrated by Dr. Sanjay Gupta. The CNN specials are called Weed, Weed 1, Weed 2, and Weed 3. I wish they would have had a name like phytocannabinoids.
Yes, right.
Keep it highbrow, but they went with Weed. So they
no
could get airtime. Yeah, no one
would
have listened to phytocannabinoids. Everyone listened to weed. And so Dr. Gupta has done these exposés, and people are using CBD around the country for epilepsy. But that's one of the areas, at least because we are really the leader in the space, that I just have to tell people, find a primary care physician that uses cannabinoids who understands epilepsy, that can help you titrate and guide through the dosing. Because that part would really require medical guidance, in my opinion. I'll tell you why. When I was putting together PowerPoint for the American Academy of Naturopathic Physicians, we had a big cannabis committee, panel that I got to head up, and we had Paul Anderson, ND, who really knows drug-to-drug interaction stuff with cannabis like no one I've ever met. He's from Washington State. He's been using cannabis as medicine in his practice for longer than anyone I ever met, maybe 15 years. So he did this whole presentation on just the drug-to-drug interactions. And when I was watching him talk about if you're on antifungals, that may increase cannabinoids in your body. And if you're on antibiotics, that may radically decrease cannabinoids in your body. Now, that might not be a big deal to someone who's just using it for anxiety. But if you're using it to control seizures, you need to have very consistent, stable dosing throughout the entire day for it to work most effectively. Do you see my point, doctor?
Well, sure. You know, this is something, if you can find someone who understands and can help, then you should. You know, I have to say that I have a friend in Australia who has been an advocate for hemp for many years. She's really led the charge in Australia, because it was considered an illegal plant there as well. And she does everything with hemp. I mean, she built the walls of her house from hemp.
Wow!
You know, yeah. What she says is indestructible. Those termites can't eat away at it, and it's, you know, she can mold it into any shape she wants. It's pretty amazing. And she has a clinic there, and she sees people with chronic illnesses, particularly cancer. But she told me that she has a patient whose daughter has epilepsy, and he has been taking her cannabinoid. It's, you know, cannabinoid paste that she makes, and this child has stopped having the seizures when she takes those oils. So, I mean, that's just anecdotal, right? We're not talking about any, you know, she's a practitioner, so, you know, she's been guiding him. But that's remarkable. This child was having, you know, hundreds of seizures a day.
I get to hear it every single day. I think being in industry and being in industry as long as I have, just really wanting to be, you know, the good industry player, you know, with the physicians that we work with that are using it under their guidance, with the parents' permissions and everybody's involved, is really cutting-edge material. I just got an email today. You'll appreciate this. One of the doctors we're working with just let me know that he just got an IRB exemption for this big CBD study that we've been doing and working on together, which allows them to mine the data. They've got 130 people in the first case series with 4 to 9 months of data on each one of them. That's going to be like new real-time data to share with people.
Yeah.
So that part, I think we do need to trust our intuition a bit. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, well, I think that, it just seems to make sense that something that's not a powerful drug. I mean, when these kids with epilepsy are put on these powerful drugs, it can have, you know, more adverse side effects than, you know, just, you know, the consequences from all these seizures at times. You know, these kids just are terribly, you know, doped up and can't function and God knows what else is going on. So find something that is benign and safe and can really support the body in healing, to me, is so exciting. And, I mean, I think quite profound. And that story that my friend told me about this one child who's just changed her life when she was on this, just taking a little bit of this cannabinoid.
Yeah, you might not need much. And if you're just tuning in and you're hearing this part, and I mentioned this earlier, online you can read about the first randomized control trial. The results came out about a month ago from the group was called GW Pharmaceuticals. And they had many, many children involved. And this is fascinating. What lay people don't always get a chance to understand, don't have time to dive deep enough. They gave CBD to these little kids on top of standard of care. Now, the standard of care, in many cases, it even includes surgery, medically induced comas, phenobarbital, Depakote, gabapentin. These are strong drugs, just like you just heard. They mean that on top of standard of care, they got nearly a 40% reduction in seizures. Let's compare that to fish oil, something I really feel very comfortable with from 10 years of study. They don't take anyone that is controlled with medication right now for coronary vascular disease, give them fish oil on top of it, and get a 40% reduction in primary events. That doesn't happen. That happens with CBD. You give it on top of standard of care and get an additional 40% reduction across the board in seizures. It just makes it almost too good to believe.
Yeah, and if you just use it without any standard of care,
I know,
it's even
better. Just a few drops a day. No, that's what I think. I rarely ever talk about my own personal experience because I don't like how it sounds when other people do it, right? But I have to say, this time I got to break my silence. I'm a AAA personality, high wire act. I'm like this all the time. Every minute of every day, I can manage my life now. So people say, oh, well, you should meditate. Really? I've been sitting in the same place for 30 years. How long have you been meditating? I just can't turn this thing off. I can take CBD, and it's just I'm gliding through the day. I'm still building a publicly traded company, happily married with the most amazing woman in the world for nearly 20 years. I have a 12-year-old son that's just the love of my life. My life is fantastic. I'm staying healthy using CBD. So if you're stressed out and you're working all the time like I do, you want to check this stuff out.
Oh, well, that's such a great testimonial. Thanks for sharing it with us. Okay, so there's one other area we need to talk about that can be controversial, I understand, but we need to talk about it, and that is the benefit from CBDs for people with cancer. What's the story with that? What can you tell us about that? I know it's always a delicate topic in our crazy world here, but what can you say about that relationship?
Well, there's a few things. If you go to PubMed.gov, there is a wonderful review that was written in Nature, one of my absolute favorite journals. I mean, it's just ivory tower. It's just as good as it gets. And I'm going from memory right now, but I believe that was Manuel Guzman, PhD, who's just another cannabinoid expert. So there was a review, and I believe, I'm going from memory now, that review was 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old, about the role of cannabinoids in cancer. So this is something that's been going on behind the scenes for a very, very long time. They've been doing a lot of research in Israel and in Europe, and what they're just starting to figure out is which cannabinoids are more effective at, say, impeding tumor genesis, as opposed to which cannabinoids may be more effective with, say, you know, programmed cell death and apoptosis, killing the bad guys. So they're still trying to figure that out. It appears as if certain cancers seem to be more responsive to higher CBD, others seem to be more responsive to higher THC. So it's still going to be some time before we can sleuth that out. I can tell you that the folklore on the street, if you will, is people have been reporting using 1 gram of total paste. So these would be like the concentrates. I'm not saying our concentrated products, just to be clear. Mm-hmm. But 1 gram of total paste, hemp paste, that contains CBD every day for 60 days. There is a documentary on YouTube, which is one of those you can't believe it, but you kind of can believe it. you can't watch it, but you kind of can't watch it, mm-hmm. called Run from the Cure. Have you heard of that one yet, Doctor?
No.
Run
no,
from,
I don't think I have.
Yeah, Run from the Cure. It's the Rick Simpson story. And it's Rick Simpson is an advocate in Canada who was growing hemp, making these extracts, giving them to people for free, and running from the law. It's quite fascinating because this man has never made one nickel helping people with cancer and cannabis extracts. So there's something there. I just don't know if we can say with any assurance yet that we understand protocols. People are reporting regularly, hey, I used cannabinoids and now I'm cancer-free. The problem is people want to know how they got from A to B, and there's a lot of self-experimentation in there, and there's not a lot in the literature on dosing yet.
Okay, so then that leads me to the next question. Are there side effects? Are there any downsides to taking CBDs?
Yeah, I really do think that there potentially could be, and here's what I mean by that. If you're the sort of person that your endocannabinoid system is very well balanced, you sleep regular, very reparative sleep architecture, your heart rate variability, right, your parasympathetic nervous system, you're fairly balanced, you have regular bowel movements, you're not a roller coaster, you don't lose your mind, you're very, very even keeled. What we're starting to see is that may insinuate that your endocannabinoid tone is quite balanced, mm-hmm. which means you may not need anything like cannabinoids. You're not even going to probably be a responder. Mm-hmm. And I think having people understand that we're on the edge of personalized medicine, and thank goodness, no longer can we say, all of you need to take this supplement if you want to look like her, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to be over. So for the people that really are responders, I think it's great. What are the potential risks, if anything? Okay, let's run through this. If your job requires that you not fail a drug test, I've read papers online. They're trying to help differentiate between CBD and THC in, like, blood draws. You know how long that's going to be until a simple urine test can tell that difference? So don't. The point is, do not use any cannabis-based or hemp-based products if your job requires that you not fail a drug test. Mm-hmm. So that's a health risk, right? We want to bring that out there. Finally,
because it may have trace amounts of THC in there.
But also the CBD can test positive.
Oh, okay.
The CBD itself could actually cause the THC test to test positive.
Okay.
If you look at the structure of CBD and THC, they're so similar. There's just one little ion, little just tweak. They're almost identical structurally.
You're right.
And so that's the problem. So that's it. We want to make sure to be clear. Here's another one. If you're taking 8 different drugs, P450, cytochrome P450, the way your body metabolizes most drugs is the same way the body metabolizes phytocannabinoids, which means that if you have, say, non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver or fatty liver and you're on 8 different pharma drugs and you don't want to push yourself too far, you may want to talk to your doctor before you use CBD because you may have a little bit of hepatic polypharmacy blockage of exporting toxins out of your body. Does that make sense?
Yes. The only problem is when you talk to your doctor who knows nothing about them, what can they say?
Well, I mean, that's why we like talking to you, doctor.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I always hear that term, talk to your doctor. It's like, yeah, and what's he supposed to tell you?
Well,
duh.
Well, but I do think that this, if you don't mind indulging me just for a second, that's why this particular narrative is challenging the status quo along with many other things. And here's what I mean by that. It used to be take 2 and call me in the morning. And now we go back to cannabis or hemp medicine. Now we're going back to the shaman. And that has nothing to do with the ivory tower, so that feels threatening. So I ask people this question. Traditionally, I'm talking through antiquity, anyone that ever used cannabis to help with menstrual cramps or a headache or pain, do you know how much they knew to use, doctor, when they used it, how they knew when they've used enough? Do you know how they knew?
They felt better.
yeah. No, I know you're right. That's it. And that is so, so simple that it's terrifying that you would actually, as a patient, as a listener to the show,
have authority over your own body.
Is a novel concept.
Yeah, and listen to it.
Oh, no, that's the hardest part to do. You might get it intellectually, But the fear of listening to yourself about how you feel, that is a revolution. That's probably the next big revolution we should be talking about.
Yeah. So is there anything else? I talked to you before we did the show about my wonderful 93-year-old mother who has some neuropathy issues and has some pain, and I've given her some to take. I don't know if she's taken it, but after having this conversation with you, Stuart, I know how to guide her a little bit better. But there are people who have benefited from pain, particularly we talked about pain earlier, but we didn't really mention neuropathy pain. Do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, we're getting mixed results. There may be a very unique sort of allelic difference of responding for different conditions with cannabinoids that we're going to have to flush out with some kind of urine tests if we can. I mean, I just saw a paper came out yesterday for the first time showing they found an allele that would demonstrate that you were at higher risk if you were exposed to THC to have early psychosis or major depressive disorders. So it's interesting, right? It might be a problematic in that person, but the plant isn't the problem. It's the interaction of the plant and the person. So we are not yet there yet where we can flush that out. But for some people, they're reporting great results with pain.
Okay. And anything else we didn't mention that can benefit? Any other issues?
I did. There was one big one. I like to save, you know, we talk about eat, sleep, protect, and forget. And we talked about eat because, again, it can help increase caloric efficient partitioning and increase insulin sensitivity, and you can help lose gut visceral adipose tissue. Sleeping, we talked about sleep architecture protecting. We quickly mentioned the immune system, but all night long they play that commercial for Humira. Well, no, they play the Viagra, then the Humira one, right? So it tells you the health of our country. Impotent autoimmune meltdown, right? Impotent autoimmune meltdown. CBD in rat model can dampen TNF-alpha, which is really the same thing that they're trying to target with Humira. And so for people that have idiopathic autoimmune conditions, they've got Crohn's, they got fibromyalgia, they got all vitiligo, those things we don't know where it's emanating from, this may play a role. But the last thing I want to talk about is forget. Eat, sleep, protect, forget. I like to always end it on this note. The adaptive benefit of remembering has been overvalued in our opinion. Now, I'm not going to deny that you probably need to learn and remember every single thing you're told for the first half of your life. That's probably accurate. However, what if in the second act of your life, the second half of your life, you need to start unlearning or forgetting? And what is the adaptive benefit of forgetting? And does dysregulation in the endocannabinoid system, might that be part of the culprit as to why some people you work with or live with cannot let it go? So what we've been seeing is that people start taking CBD and they start editing. And I can't even remember what my dad said to me when I was 12 years old, and I know what he really meant, but it's now a distant memory. What if what you've been remembering is inaccurate or harmful, and that's why this stuff might work with post-traumatic stress disorder and thought disorders? That's something to think about.
Wow, that's so interesting. And it is being used with post-traumatic stress disorders and for people, for vets, people coming back with all sorts of those traumas. This is a strategy that is available to them, right? This is
absolutely
shown to be helpful.
The group that's doing our big human clinical work in Colorado, in the other part of the email he sent me today, says we've also begun our new phase of the study, PTSD and thought disorder. Dosing will likely be more aggressive. That's according to an MD that's doing some clinical work with us. So we're still going to flush out all that stuff. People want to know exactly how many milligrams. Ready? St. John's wort, we didn't know. Fish oil, we didn't know how much fish oil you really needed until we started testing everyone's omega-3 levels.
Right.
That happened about 5 years ago. We've been talking about fish oil since like 1900.
Right.
Let's be patient.
Yes. But that's so interesting that it lets you potentially release thoughts that don't really serve you and contribute to more obsessive or either obsessive thinking or keeps you in that loop of being angry and resentful of what happened to you in the past.
Yes, no, and if you listen to Bruce Lipton, And if you listen to what he says that 95% of all your health outcomes are dictated by negative self-defeating feedback loops in your subconscious. So unless you're a Qigong master, right, good luck trying to control, fix, and manage your nasty subconscious by only eating kale. Until you forgive on a deep level, let go, and edit, every time you're faced with a challenge, you're backed into a corner, the dominant response is going to emerge. It always does. Unlearning may be equally as important as learning. That's a great concept with CBD.
Well, you know, that is so powerful. As a psychotherapist, I can tell you that is just amazing what you've just said, Stuart, because taking the CBDs could really support people in moving on in their lives.
It's unbelievable. I'm hearing it over and over and over, and it's been my own personal experience, and it's so experiential. Here's the best part. You can't sell this. If you have that experience and then you want someone else to have that experience, guess what? They might not have that experience. Their endocannabinoid system may be such that they're not touched in the same way that you're touched by. And that's going to help limit our ability to just keep sounding like an echo chamber, right? That's good. It's like anti-narcissism juice. You can't walk around and tell everybody, hey, if you want to feel just like me, do exactly what I did. Because we're all so different.
Yes. Yeah. Important point that an individual respond in their own unique way. It may help some of these issues profoundly, and for others it may not seem to do anything. I just want to go back in the last few minutes we have of our conversation. You talked about dampening down the inflammatory response, TNF-alpha. You kind of went through that really quickly, but that's really profound. If you can use the CBD oil to help reduce the inflammatory response, and I can just tell you, because I do a lot of nutrigenomic testing and I look at people's inherited gene expressions, and the vast majority of people that I've tested, vast majority, I mean like 99% of people, have inherited genes that are not efficient in dampening down inflammation. So it makes them very prone if they are under stress, if they're not eating right, if they have EMFs in the environment, chemical exposure, all the things that drive inflammation. It's like gasoline to a fire. It just explodes and then takes on a life of its own. So that's why we have autoimmune diseases and such an epidemic of autoimmune conditions. So what I heard you saying, TNF-alpha is one of those cytokines, one of those inflammatory, pro-inflammatory molecules that can generate inflammation, and the CBDs can help to put the brakes on it. Is that what I heard you say?
Correct. And in the literature, they are insinuating these sort of non-redundant mechanisms of action, which is very important because one of the lectures I was working on at Nordic Naturals before I moved on was entitled Oxidation Happens. Instead of, stuff happens, oxidation happens, because people are very, very confused about the idea of oxidation. Well, what's so interesting about the way that CBD may work as an anti-inflammatory is that it actually can have the fish oils actually create anti-inflammatory hormone-like compounds, right? They are the upstream mm-hmm. substrate of these downstream autocoids. Mm-hmm. CBD appears to be working through a non-redundant route. So that's what's so important. Is if everyone just keeps taking tons, at least in our opinion, tons of botanical anti-inflammatories that work through the similar routes all the time, that may not be ideal, right? We're finding now that if you exercise all the time and then you don't balance that oxidative stress, that might be a problem. So mm-hmm. it always comes back to the middle way. What we love about CBD is if it can help dampen that hyperactive TNF-alpha and the inflammatory cascade in a way that is not redundant to other things you're doing, mm-hmm. I think we're going to see that people will get better results if they add CBD to their anti-inflammatory regime. And I'm becoming of the school, I don't know what your thoughts are this, that we might have done it a little bit too much with all the anti-inflammatory herbs that we've been taking over the last several years.
Well, I don't know if that is what I see, because genomically I can tell you people are just so incredibly vulnerable.
Well, no, that's true. You're looking at it on a genomic level. That you're making excellent observation. Yeah.
Yeah, and so from that genomic level, which is like the bottom line, right? It's the bottom line. If you can look at the genes, gene expressions that you've inherited, you can see how efficient or what drivers are most vulnerable for chronic illnesses, because it's the gene level, and then you have to support those genes with specific nutrition, which is what nutrigenomics is about. So I just see most of us are really not designed for 21st century living.
That's fascinating. But I'll bet you, I'm sure that this is, I guess, the point I was trying to make. If you are doing the gene testing first, historically, people might have elected on their own to take a lot of anti-inflammatory herbs without doing the genetic testing. So
yeah,
if you're doing the gene testing now, like, you wouldn't put somebody on it if they didn't need it, is my point.
Right. Yes.
That is a huge revolution. They do it, but that's a huge revolution. I'm looking forward to the time where people that do what I do, that we can't sell. I want it to be where only consumers and patients can buy. And if companies like ours do good work, then we'll get to sell. But only because they're buying.
Well, you know, this is such an exciting area. I can see why you just love getting up every day. Of course, your CBDs keep you balanced there, Stuart. But, you know, this is pioneering work, and we're working with a potential healing substance that can bring balance and rejuvenation and regeneration, restoration to so many systems of the body in a way that is safe, natural and effective. So I'm excited. I know that I'm going to be making your CBD oils and sprays available for me on my online store. So if people are wanting to learn more, that's where they need to go. But this is a revolution, and I'm so grateful for the work you're doing, your passion for it, and the responsible way that you are going about doing this investigation, research, and science. And most of all, thank you for your time today, Stuart. I know you're a really busy guy.
It was a tremendous delight. Thank you so much. I look forward to being on your show again sometime. Thank you, Doctor.
For sure. And thank you. We've been talking to Stuart Tomk, who is involved with CBD oils, and his company is Plus CBD Oil. Hope I have that right. I probably will.
Plus CBD Oil.
Yes. I wanted to be sure I had it right. And thank you again, Stuart, and thank you to all my listeners. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.